Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Koheles Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of the Megillah of Koheles. Our Perek has 20 psukim, and its theme overall is the place of the fool in society. The word that is used for fool is sachal or ksil. Those are the two words used in our Perek to describe this person. There are five sections, and they actually sit together very well. There's a running theme throughout the Perek, and it's very interesting to trace it all the way through. Let's take a look at it in sections. First section is Psukim Aleph to Gimel, and this is the section of fools and foolishness. It's very interesting. It describes in the section how a little bit of foolishness can undo a great amount of wisdom. So the way it's described is, the one metaphor that's used is Zavuve Maves Yavish Yabia Shemen Roikeach. That flies of death, or a dead fly, can destroy a whole ointment. When we talk about the idiom, the fly in the ointment, it comes directly, of course, from Koheles. So a little bit of sichlus, of foolishness, can underpin or undermine all of this great wisdom. That seems to be the general theme of this section. What is this idea? Why is that the case? So Ibn Ezra, the Mitzudas David, points out that you may have a person who has a great amount of attributes. They're a very accomplished leader. They're a very sophisticated person. They've made major achievements. But even just a little bit of a fault, even something which is some foolishness, we'll call it dark corner of the soul, can undo all of that. So when that becomes public, when people realize that they have this problem, that problem can undo all of the good they possibly did in the world as well. Rashi says it's a little more balanced. We're not talking about necessarily a person who's got 97% great and then those 3% overturn the rest of it. Rashi says, we talk about a person who's average, a person who has 50% good, 50% bad. So any action, any amount, a little bit of foolishness can be the one that is the tiebreaker to push it over the edge. So we're talking on a more, we'll call it average level. It is interesting, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach Aleph and Aleph describes a very powerful idea that the Zvuvei Mavis, the Zvuv, the fly is a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And what happens is, like a fly which lands in the ointment, it doesn't look so bad. You're like, okay, it's just a little fly. It's in the corner. It doesn't really make a difference. But leave it there overnight, leave it there for a few days. It starts rotting, and then the rot starts spreading, and then bacteria grow. And by a few days later, the entire thing is to be thrown out. That's how the Yetzer Hara works. If you leave it in just a little bit, you say, oh, you know, I'll get up just a little bit later. I'll go look at that. I'll go engage in that. I'll eat that. Well, you're just a little bit doesn't really make so much difference. Well, by tomorrow, by a few days' time, unfortunately, the rot continues to spread. In a conversation, there's another way of looking at this perspective, and that is that sometimes you get in a conversation about very profound matters. You go to a shir, you go to experience, a spiritual experience, and you walk out, and you're like so profoundly impacted. And then somebody cracks a joke about it or puts out a meme. There seems to be an incredible amount of meme generators today. Obviously, people who don't have too much time on their hands. That sort of undermines everything that was said. So again, a little bit of foolishness can undermine a whole lot of wisdom in so many different ways, whether it be insidiously over time, like the Yetzer Hara, whether it be in terms of, so to speak, making the whole of the good person or the whole of the good circumstance be trivial. Let's move on to the second section. Actually, before we get there, one interesting, fascinating note is the second pasuk is Lev Chacham Liminov, Lev Ksil Lismola. The heart of the wise person is on his right, and the heart of the fool is on their left. It is interesting that this Kabbalistically means a lot of things. It's obviously not talking about physically the two ventricles of the heart. We're talking about spiritually and Kabbalistically. Rav David Spiegel, the Ostro Kalashina Rav, had a very beautiful explanation of this, and he says that when you start learning Daf Yomi, you can't look forward. You can't say, oh, wow, there are 2,000 blatt ahead of me if I look to the to the left, which is all the pages ahead in the Hebrew-oriented books. I need to look to the right, which is all I've achieved. Right now, I'm looking at the page I'm at and everything I've accomplished up to now, and that's the way to keep going. So the fool is the one who gets dissuaded by the insurmountable amount ahead, and the chacham is the one who's liminoi, who notices what they've already achieved in the Hebrew orientation. Our second section is from Psukim Dalet to Zion, and this section talks about fools in high places. So it sounds like im ruach ha-moshel ta'aleh alecha, the spirit of the ruler will come upon you, will take over you. Al tanach, imekomcha al tanach, don't leave your place, ki marpeh aniach ha-to'im gedolim, because ultimately it'll be a marpeh, it'll be some sort of form of healing. For the way it's described is for the when the wrath abates, grave offenses are pardoned. What is going on in this section? It's interesting. It seems to describe that you have a person who may be a very worthy person who's treated sorrowfully in life, and a person who's perhaps very inconsequential, who's riding on a horse and who's having airs of grandeur and success. So it comes back to the notion of theodicy, of tzaddik varala, and there's two ways of really understanding this parak. One, as the Metzudos and the Mefarshei HaPshat take it to mean, is that this refers when you see injustice at the hands of humans. You see a moshel, you see a ruler who's taking over other people. Don't fight it. Don't be the one to say that you know, fight the ruler, because they'll come for time for justice. You don't need to put yourself on the train tracks. Rashi and the Talmud Mas Chochma say no. This is referring to not the ruler of man, but the ruler of in the world, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see things which don't seem just, understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got a plan. Understand that it all works out. In the end of the day, you sometimes say, Keshgogah Yatsemi Pnei Ashalit. You say that it's a mistake from Hashem, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem has divine providence, and he has many machinations of order in this world. One is the Mazalos, and sometimes when it comes to the realm of the, let's say, the zodiac and all the different intermediaries which generate power in this world, it may generate negativity at certain points, but that doesn't mean to say that the system is broken. It means to say it's a sophisticated system. So hold it in place. Have patience to see the fuller system. We move to section 3, Psukim Ches to Yud. In this section, it talks about how the fool cannot act with caution. There are a lot of very fascinating idioms which appear in this section, ones which I'm sure we are familiar with. A person who digs a pit will fall therein. A person who breaks a fence will be bitten by a snake. He who quarries stones while hurt by them, Asiyavonim Ya'atzeh Bohem. A person who spits wood will be harmed by them. I'm sure we've heard some of these idioms before. But what is fascinating to me is in the last pasuk, Pasuk Yud. Listen to this idiom. This is fascinating. In Keo Abarzel, if the axe is dull, who loyloponim, loyponim kilkel, and has not got a whetted or sharp edge, vachayolim yagaber, and he must exhort a great amount of strength, v'yisron hechsher chokhma. It is better. The advantage depends on the exercise, the skill depends on the exercise of prudence. So what's this referring to? What does this idiom mean? Just a fascinating idea. The Rambam Memor Nevuchim points out that you may have wisdom, but if your axe is dull, you're going to probably not be able to get too much wisdom. You need to have a sharpened saw, a sharpened axe, in order to be able to do this. I believe this is where Stephen Covey pulls this out of in the seventh habit, which is of the seven habits of highly effective people. Sharpening the saw, I believe, comes from here. What is interesting as well is the idea that it may be that you may have to, instead of exerting a lot of force of brute memorization, if you understand the concept, then you'll be able to avoid the memorization, all that effort, because you have the precision. That's what seems to be over here. Precision is more important than accumulation of strength. It is worthwhile noting that the Targum, which is the Aramaic translation, explains that this is referring to, and that's how Gomorrah and Tanis takes it, is it's referring to the skies. When Israel are sinning, Kad Yechovon Amad Beis Israel, when they are sinning, V'yisavdun Shemaya Takif in Kaparzla, and the heavens turn strong like Barzel, like iron, so they do not release rain, and that generation is not praying to Hashem, then Hashem will not accept our prayers, and ultimately there will be a famine. But when the people gather together and they overcome their indulgences and they try to pray for mercy in front of Hashem, they sharpen their tools to pray in front of Hashem, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately give them redemption. So it's a much different perspective here from the Targum, the idea of a colossal national perspective of the seasons and the interaction with the spiritual world. Our fourth section is the words of the sage and the words of the fool. If the snake will bite without any poison, there's no point to the person who has the tongue. And it goes and describes the words of the wise person and the words of the fool. The fool, it seems to say in the section, just keeps doing all kinds of folly. They speak things, they don't know when they're going to end, they talk about things, and nobody knows what's going to happen. You just do this, and we'll see what happens. You know? That's the fool. Amalak silim yagenu, their efforts will make you tired, will make you weary. Asher lo yada laleches alayir, they don't even know the way back to the city. This section, I believe, pulls the whole perek together, because essentially it's referring to the role of the wise person in relationship to the sachal, to the fool. We've just seen in the previous section that the fool is a person who will, you know, he will break the wall and get bitten by the snake. You know, he will dig the pit and he'll fall in it. And this section corroborates that. A fool will talk a lot, but he doesn't know what the conclusion is. He doesn't know his way back. He doesn't have the map to get back to the city. A sachal is a person who lives in the moment. A fool is a person who doesn't think about the future. The problem is that people who don't think about the future destroy the present and the future, because they don't have any checks and balances. They don't know where they're going. They're walking mapless and compassless through society, and they destroy many people because of that. So it's the place of the wise person to be able to put them in their place. In fact, in the previous section, when it says that that a person who breaks a fence, poretz geder yishchenu nachash, refers to the idea that Chazal have the significant responsibility of creating siagim, which are fences around the law, so that people cannot disturb it. And anybody who breaks that, so to speak, a snake will bite them, metaphorically speaking, that the chachamim should speak out, should put such people in place. But if they do not, if they have no poison to their bite, right? Which is our section, coming back to the same serpent metaphor. If the nachash will bite, but not have any poison, then what yisra nevar aloshan? What help has the person who speaks? Means to say is there's a great responsibility on those who can see the future, those who do have communal leadership, to speak out against those who are living in the moment, those who are jeopardizing society. Something which is extremely relevant today, unfortunately. There are so many people out there who are drilling holes in the boat, and unfortunately they're not very willing to listen to the Baal HaLashon, and today's society is not very into listening to authority figures who may have something to say about the general good of the community. So therefore we have a society which is driven by Sachalim, unfortunately, today, not willing to listen to the wisdom of those in communal positions. Very difficult place to be, but nonetheless very reflective of this perek. We close the perek with the last three psukim, Tes Zayin, to Chof, where this section now talks about the tragedy of having rulers who are there for their indulgences and their pleasures. They drink wine in the morning, they have all kinds of enjoyment, and it really jeopardizes the country. And you know, unfortunately, one looks around the world, one doesn't have to look too hard to find, you know, people who did not join the ranks of government service or the ranks of communal leadership for their own good or ego, as opposed to communal service itself. And unfortunately, the same rule as this Perek has talked about applies here, is that if a person is simply in it for today and for their own indulgences today, then society can crash tomorrow, but they don't really care, because right now they're in it for their moment. And at the end of the perek does, the Koheles does, at the end of the perek, caution us to melech al tekalel. Melech al tekalel, v'chadri mishkopcho al tekalel ashir. Don't curse the rich, don't curse the leaders, because the birds of heaven will bring your voice round, yagid dovar, and those who have wings, angels, will transmit what you said. The Gemara in Bava Basra gives a terrifying example of this, where the Gemara describes how when Herod became king, the Chachamim, the wise people, spoke out against him because he was actually an Eved. They said, how could he take over from, he killed all the Hasmoneans, the last of the Hashmonaim dynasty, and he took over, and the Sanhedrin spoke out against them, so he simply killed them all. And he left one of the sages, his name was Bava ben Buta, and he blinded him. And at a certain point, he wanted to test the loyalty of Bava ben Buta, and Bava ben Buta could not see. So Herod came over to him, Hurdus came over to him, and asked him to curse the king, because the king's so bad. He tried to generate a conversation of negativity about the king. And Bava ben Buta quoted our pasuk saying, I cannot say. And he said, well, I'm here by myself, no one will tell. And he said, no, I cannot say anything negative about the king, because this is what Koheles said, and it ultimately saved his life when Herod saw the prudence that Bava ben Buta exercised at that point in time. He said, wow, the Chachamim are so impressive. He said, how can I fix up the sin that I created by killing all the Chachamim? And Bava ben Buta responded by saying, you extinguished the light of the world by killing the Chachamim, so make the Beis HaMikdash better. And that was when Hurdus renovated the second Beis HaMikdash to the magnificent structure the Mishnayos and Masechet Sukkah talks about it, what was the Binyan Hurdus, the third, which is essentially 2B, second Beis HaMikdash, revamped, which is because of this. This is because of Bava ben Buta's adherence to this. And in today's society, we can understand that if a person ever emails, texts, sends a voice note about negativity about anybody in society, that there is a most high likelihood that whatever that person has sent will be available to the entire world within the span of minutes. And so therefore this point of Quietus is more relevant today than ever before. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.